Hi, you're listening to another sermon from Deep Creek Anglican Church.
The atmosphere is changing now, for the Spirit of the Lord is here. The evidence is all.
And praise God that that is the truth, isn't it? That the Spirit of the Lord is here. Over the last 5 years, if I think of that period of time, I can identify 2, 3, 4 times where in corporate worship there was clearly a positive shift up in the spiritual atmosphere of this church. One of those times that I remember distinctly was when we did the Blessed to be Blessed series, which was in May 2014. I don't know if you remember that, but it really made a difference. We shouldn't be surprised by that, because there is transformative power when the blessing of God is pronounced. There's power in blessing. Power in blessing on people, power in blessing on things. The Celts were kind of Ireland, Scotland, that part of Britain going back into the 6th, 7th century. They understood the blessing, the importance of blessing people. A guy by the name of Roy Goodwin, in a magnificent book entitled The Way of Blessing, he speaks about the Celts' focus on blessing. This guy Roy and his wife Daphne, they're founders of a missional house of prayer and a Christian retreat centre in West Wales. I have no idea how to pronounce Welsh. It's Fald, F-A-L-D dash Y, Fald, Brennan, B-R-E-N-I-N. I tell you, the blessings that God has and is pouring through this place, that's a book you want to get, and the precursor to that, Outpouring of Grace. It really just is so magnificent, the blessings of God. In the book, we hear about this illustration, this godly old Celt saint by the name of Columba. He lived in the 7th century. He lived on Lindisfarne, Holy Island, and it was from there that he exercised an amazing ministry. The story is told how one day he was in wild country between Hexham and Carlisle, and it was a time of plague. He was preaching, he was confirming those who'd been newly baptised, and then a group of women appeared on the edge of the forest, and they're carrying a young man who was wasting away from a serious illness. They put the young man down, they approached Columba and asked if he would bless the young man, clearly dying. Columba looked at him, saw that he was in desperate plight, and remember this point for later on, as we chat about this, he withdrew to pray for some time. Then he turned to the young man and he blessed him. And his condition instantly changed. Within an hour he was eating, talking, and he left on foot with those who had brought him. What's happening in that magnificent story? We might be tempted to think that this man Columba had some special technique, but it's not that. Columba is simply one of countless Christians down through the centuries who've walked the path of what we actually might call the way of blessing. And so in that great book, The Way of Blessing, the author and the founder of that Christian retreat, Roy Goodwin, he says, the way of blessing isn't so much a technique. What it is, it's an expression of what it means to belong to the kingdom of God. That's important. It's an expression of what it means to belong to the kingdom of God. Let's say that together. This is what the power of blessing does and why it happens. Together, God releases the Spirit to work afresh and anew in our lives through our actions and in the places we inhabit, so that we might be carriers of the presence of God. We then proclaim the blessings of His presence. Do you get it? We have the Holy Spirit, we are carriers of the presence of God, and we proclaim the blessings of the presence of God. So if you weren't here in 2014, let me encourage you to go to the website under Media and download and listen to those six messages, Blessed to Be a Blessing, and I'm not going to go back through all of the foundations that we covered at that time. But in the first message, we went back and we looked at Genesis 1, and we noted that God's first action, His first action after creation, indeed, was to bless. So in Genesis 1:22, God blessed the fish and the birds and said, "Be fruitful and increase in number and fill the water in the seas and let the birds increase on the earth." The relationship between God and the fish and the birds is different to the relationship between God and mankind. To the fish and the birds, He pronounces a blessing. Look at verse 28. To mankind, God blessed them, mankind, and said to them, "Be fruitful, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over the fish in the sea and the birds in the sky, and over every living creature that moves on the ground." Do you see there that that's more than an expression of goodwill, isn't it? That blessing to men and women has content. The technical term would be it's efficacious. It actually actualizes something. It enables something. It was that blessing that actually confirmed the power of fertility from the blessing. A blessing needs to be said, a blessing needs to be spoken, and God just delights. His heart is a heart of blessing. And natural abundance is actually one of the leading images of divine blessing. Like in Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, that you may be children of your Father in heaven. He causes His sun to rise on the evil and the good, and He sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. So as you track through the Old Testament particularly, it's not only fertility, but it's also material prosperity. You see it in Genesis 24, Deuteronomy 2, Proverbs 10. It is God's delight to bless. Do you believe that? Like deep down, not just intellectually, do you believe this is actually His heart? He knows that there is such power in blessing. I was just reflecting on this last night. I actually came across a message that Bill Johnson of Bethel had just preached on the 29th. And Bill says, "God has more desires for me to be blessed, for you to be blessed, than I have desires to be blessed." That's quite a statement, isn't it? He has more desire for you to be blessed than you yourself actually have desire to be blessed. And in such a wise way, he then contrasted it with greed. He said, the thing with greed is you are going and stealing something which is not yet in the future, and you're seeking to bring it back into the present. And that's like being a thief. There's a big difference between the abundance that comes from the Lord's favor and blessing and us being greedy. God brings prosperity. And I'll talk a little bit more in a moment just about the breadth of that word prosperity. He delights. He speaks into our design. He speaks into our destiny. He speaks into our dominion. That is the things over which we have some rule or authority. And so for us, we want to bless in a way that actually echoes the way that God Himself blesses humanity. All blessing comes from the Lord. And so when you bless someone, we're getting to share in God's delight over that person. Do you see that? So The Lord delights in you, and He delights in you. And when we bless someone, we are sharing in God's delight over that person. That is, as we're blessing, we are actually co-laborers with the Lord. We're conduits of His blessing. It's not as if we kind of dream up some blessing ourselves. We're acting as that channel for this God who delights in blessing mankind. And not surprisingly, that means you need to be listening to the Father. You need to be tuning in to what the Father's saying in being that co-laborer and that conduit in bringing blessing to people and to situations. If you remember that story of St. Columba, do you remember that's what he did? The dying young man is presented at his feet. He assesses and sees, yep, this is a desperate case. And the story goes, he withdraws and he prays. He's seeking the Lord. He's listening to the Father. And he comes back and he pronounces blessing. And healing flows as he pronounces blessing over the young man. Here's the big point. The more I understand the Father's delight in me, the more I'm enabled to express the Father's delight in you and you. The more you understand the Father's delight in you, the more in tune you are to then be that conduit of blessing to others. We're called to bless. What a beautiful thing, isn't it? We're just called to bless. So we need to take time to listen to the Lord, to tune into His delight. And so a great place to start in blessing someone is simply giving thanks. And use Scripture in that blessing, because you will be lining yourself up with the heart of the Lord. There are obviously some stumbling blocks to blessing, and I've put an extended section out of the way of blessing in Across the Creek. Please take that. It's also up on the church Facebook page. Roy Goodwin tells this story. He goes, one day a man knocked on our door and he said, I've just got to say thanks for changing our lives. This teaching about blessing has changed everything for us. Fundamentally, it's changed us because we're so busy blessing everyone, listen to this, that we have forgotten how to judge them and curse them, because that's how we thought we were loving them. It's changed their lives. That is, major on showing mercy and let the Lord, who is righteous, be the one who judges. Roy says, at times we hear from Christians who believe that we shouldn't pray blessing for people who are not yet Christians. The view is, they deserve judgment. He goes, the problem with this perspective is it simply doesn't reflect scriptural truth. The shocking command to bless those who curse you is spoken by Jesus, and it's also then repeated by Paul, Luke 6:28 and Romans 12:14. The prophet Jeremiah must have sent a shudder through the exiles in Babylon when he commended them to do what? To seek the prosperity of the place where they lived. What? In Babylon? They wanted to be back in the holy city. And Jeremiah, God's spokesman, is going, tell them to bring blessing to a heathen city. So in Jeremiah 29:7, let's say the words together up on the screen. Seek the peace and prosperity of the city to which I've carried you into exile. Pray to the Lord for it, because if it prospers, you too will prosper. There are so many reasons why we as a community of believers need to be a community of blessers. And I just want to simply today, in a very short time, give two of those reasons. And we're going to talk more about this way of blessing as we go through this series on kingdom fitness, and we talk about home, and as we talk about the workplace. But here's one reason why we should be, and we need to be increasingly, it's not that we aren't, but increasingly, a community of blessers. That's just simply because God blesses. We bless because God blesses. When you go through the way that bless or blessing is used in Scripture, you really end up with this sort of understanding of it. It's a multiplication of God's favour, resulting in prosperity, fruitfulness, and an enjoyment of victory over enemies. When you think of prosperity, it's actually speaking of the whole person, body, soul, and spirit. Body, soul, and spirit prospering and enjoying the favour of God. It brings us into quality relationships. It brings us into strong community. It strengthens us in hard times. I mean, despite the error of what is notionally called the prosperity gospel, you don't want to throw the baby out with the bathwater. The Lord does want to bless us financially, but that's only a balanced part of the whole. What about victory over enemies? That speaks about how the Lord equips us to thwart the works of principalities and powers that work against God's blessing in our communities and in our nation. We reign with Christ over all of those powers, and we declare the word of testimony, Revelation 12. And you know what that testimony is? It includes a declaration of God's desire to show mercy. It's a declaration about his character, that he is good, and that blessing is inherent in declaring his peace over people and places. Do you get that? We have victory over the enemies, the spiritual enemies that come against God's good creation when we speak out the testimony. This is the God who we worship. He is merciful. He is good. He is a God who desires and delights in blessing people. That serves notice on the demonic strongholds. The peace bringer and the peace bringer's people are here, and we are going to establish what? Divine strongholds. Portals, if you like, of heaven. Places of blessing. So that people come, and before they can really work out what's happening, they know that the atmosphere has changed. And so that ironic blessing in Numbers 6 that we looked at in some detail in that earlier series, it explicitly reveals God's desire to bless people. It's concrete. It's not just ephemeral. It's not just feelings. This is hard stuff. Hard, concrete stuff. And you and I, if you're trusting the Lord Jesus, you're called, we're called as a community to simply imitate, to get on that train of blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing to others. I wonder if you remember in that earlier series, again, I think it was in the first message, that I talked about the cosmic changing promises that were given to Abram in Genesis 12. Remember that? The promises to Abram were that all nations would be blessed through him. And then you get to Galatians 3, and you see that the mantle of that blessing, the seed of Abraham, is actually the Lord Jesus. And it says, through faith in the Lord Jesus, we are actually the true sons of Abraham. Do you get that? We're the carriers of an Abrahamic blessing, and that blessing is that all of the nations of the earth will be blessed. That's exciting. It ought to be, wow, that's fantastic. We are sent out to be agents of blessing. The second good reason why we should bless is because we actually are carrying the image of God. We are image bearers. We are empowered to act on behalf of the King of Kings. That is, we bear something of the image of God. Isn't that magnificent that that's the reality? We are empowered to act on his behalf, not to be tentative, to speak it out. Because we understand the character of God. He's a good God, and he delights. He delights in blessing and bringing favour. You know, there's a difference between interceding for God to bless and proclaiming blessing. So let's remember that we're Anglicans this morning. Roy says he was speaking to a group of Anglicans, bless their little hearts, in the mountains. And in one of the sessions, he says he was introducing them to the ministry of blessing. He says, having taught from the Scriptures, I said there was a very big difference between blessing and ministering blessing.
says, so I invited a lady. She was up the back of the room to come forward. She was happy enough to do it. And I said to everyone, my desire is that this lady should be blessed. I wasn't aware at the time that she was the vicar's wife. Not that that's important. I then turned my back to her. So she's there. He turns his back to her and says, excuse me, Father, you're the God of blessing. I ask you to come because of Jesus and release mighty blessings on the lady standing behind me. Amen. Roy says, I then asked the congregation what I'd done. Oh, you blessed her. Roy says, no, actually, I didn't. I petitioned the Father. I've asked him to bless her. When I, as a Christian, bless someone, it's quite different. Roy says, I turned around and I faced the woman and I said, I bless you in the name of Jesus, that the Father may bless you. I bless you that the peace and joy of God may come upon you and wash through every part of your being, physically, mentally, socially, and spiritually. Her eyes filled up a little. She thanked me and went and sat down. We carried on, and it was only at the end of the day that she came up to me and said, you know what? It's amazing. I suffered from chronic, constant back pain for 20 years. And it disappeared the moment you blessed me. So I want to take the opportunity to bless every dad who's here this morning. So I'm inviting and asking that all the dads would stand. Would you like to do that now? And if it's okay with you, as I speak a blessing, I'm going to refer to each of the dads as dad. Is that okay? So it's dad. All right, so I'm going to speak this blessing. Blessed are you, O Lord our God, giver of all good things and sustainer of life. I thank you for each of these dads. They are your good gift, and you have blessed the earth with their presence. All glory, honour and power is yours, and I thank you for creating them in your Son, Jesus Christ. We praise you, O God. I bless your design, Dad. Dad, you are God's workmanship. You're created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God has prepared beforehand that you should walk in. Blessed are you, Heavenly Father, that each dad here, trusting in you, has been raised with Christ and seated with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I bless your destiny, Dad. I bless each dad with good gifts from a good Heavenly Father. I bless each of you dads with a spirit of power, love and self-control, not a spirit of fear. May God's word be a lamp to your feet, a light to your path. I bless you, Dad, with the knowledge that Jesus will never leave nor forsake you. I bless your dominion, Dad. I bless all those who are under your care and provision. I bless your time with your children, your wisdom imparted to them, your fun with them, your nurture of them. May the blessings of Abraham flow in your life, and that all the nations of the world will see that you are blessed. May you rule and reign with Christ forever. So, Dad, may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord have his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Dad, I bless you today. I bless you with health, prosperity, capacity and favour. And I declare you are blessed. And you're blessed to be a blessing. In Jesus' name. Amen. Grab a seat. And now it's an opportunity for us to bless someone else. So here's my suggestion. Don't freak out. I want you in a moment to stand and to move somewhere a little bit different to where you are and go and ask someone if you can bless them. Okay? Just relax. Just seek the Lord. It doesn't need to be a long blessing like that. And see in your spirit the Lord's delight in the person. We're all equipped to do this. Ask for permission to lay hands, maybe on the shoulder or lightly on the person's head, and then just simply speak blessing over them. We are and will say more about blessing as we go through the series, but now just relax about it. Just nice and simple. It's not about technique. It's about understanding the person, the work of Jesus in bringing the revelation of the Father's heart by the Spirit into someone's life. And then after you've blessed the person, maybe, this is where the logistics get challenging, maybe come back to your spot and remain standing. And by standing, you're signifying that you need, that you're waiting for a blessing. And then as you're blessed, you sit down. Does that make sense? So we stand, we go somewhere else, we ask for permission, simple blessing of someone, come back, stand, someone will see that you're standing and bless. Now someone's going to go, oh wow, do I really? It's going to be so hard. Well, I don't want to freak you out, it's Father's Day and we want to bless you. So if it's really too big a mountain to climb, you just keep standing and someone will come and pray and bless you and you'll sit. But we're to be a community of blessers, aren't we? The Lord delights in us and we're conduits of blessing. So let's do it. Was that good? Was that hard? Did it feel good? Did you kind of sense the Lord speaking with you and His presence? It's because we're aligning ourselves with Him. He delights in doing this. So I want to encourage you to also bless physical places. What? Have you ever spoken blessing over this place? 460 Blackburn Road? That the presence and power of God would rest here in a profound way? That when people come on site, they're touched. I might be able to explain it by the presence of God. Have you ever done that? If you haven't, can I encourage you to do it? Have you spoken blessing over this auditorium, this worship sanctuary? That as we come together in worshiping the Lord, that the Lord's favour would be manifest, that as outreach groups use this? Have you spoken blessing over the hall where kids are nurtured in the Christian faith? Where stacks of families, dozens of families are coming through each week. It's like, I speak blessing over this physical space, this hall. I speak the Lord's favour. That the revelation of the Father's heart would be known by all people. Bless places, bless this place, and bless people. Because we're conduits, we're channels of blessing. It's my heart's desire, and it's been for an extended time, that this place would increasingly just be just a beautiful place of worship. That it would be a place where the presence of God is manifest. Where the blessing of God touches every person in a profound way. And where that then radiates out into the locale. Into bigger areas, bringing healing to body, soul, and spirit. So can I invite you to stand and let me pronounce the Lord's blessing on each of you and on us. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord turn His face toward you and give you peace. Do you remember the words of the doxology? I do, because it was always sung as sort of the grace before the fellowship tea and the brethren hall. I don't ever remember blessing that brethren hall, but anyway. Do you remember the words? Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, ye heavenly host. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. And we've got the opportunity now to sing with that. It's just that verse and one other word, Amen. Do you remember what Amen is saying? Amen is saying, We are expressing that this is faithful, this is reliable, this is believable, that it is from God that all blessings flow. Let's sing up.